10 the ticket. It is guest booking league time. And Donovan takes to the podium.
Thank you, Bob. Let's welcome to the airways right now, Damon Wilson. You will know him as Lamont from Sanford and Son. Damon, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good.
It is an absolute...
Hit the road.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Gearing up to hit the road.
And doing what, if I may ask?
A new stage play called The Measure of a Man.
Okay, it is...
And
first
we're
off,
we're going to be at the Atlanta Symphony Hall at Woodruff Arts on 8/4/12, and we're going to be on the 2nd at the Civic Center in Albany, Georgia.
Very good. But first off, I want to tell you it's a pleasure to speak with you right now. I grew up watching Sanford and Son, always on reruns, and we had Jimmy Walker on not too long ago, and I asked him this question that I really wanted to ask you. Do you think that playing that historic character was a blessing and a curse all at the same time? Because people identify you as Lamont Sanford. So if you're going to try to get another role, do they see Lamont Sanford, or are you kind of, did that affect you in any way at all?
Well, first of all, you're talking about something that was 40 years ago, and I've done a gazillion things since Sanford and Son.
Right.
I went from Sanford and Son to three other sitcoms that I produced and starred in. I've written 14 books. My latest book, Second Banana, The Bittersweet Memoirs of the Sanford and Son Years, is selling in 60 foreign countries in the world. I just sold some books to, wait a second, I'll tell you here, now they just sent me a thank you letter. Just sold some books to... how do I say this? Klatten, Kirchen, Germany.
Okay.
Nice.
And I sold a dozen books in Spain, Italy, and Madrid. So I don't know about the curse. I have three houses, and all of that came from Sanford & Son, five cars. I don't have any complaints. I left show business full-time in circa right after The New Odd Couple on ABC. And went into the ministry around the world. And God has been blessing me. I've written 10 children's stories, one serious book in 98 called The New Age Millennium, an expose of symbol slogans and hidden agendas. Got my PhD. I've raised six children. I have three grandchildren. My youngest is in her last year at Cal State Fullerton, and she's going to be on network news any day now.
Well, congratulations on that. So I guess that was a crazy question to ask. Sanford and Son has opened up a lot of doors for you.
It wasn't crazy. It was just, I don't know, you're talking to Jimmy Walker. No disrespect, but I never identified with that buffoonery nonsense. I asked God to give rest to Sherman Hemsley. God rest his soul. He was a very genteel man. I met him a couple of times. But I was never into that jiving and shucking kind of mentality. Red and I fought to keep that nonsense out of what we did. And we were the nexus. We were the catalyst for all of those other shows that came after us. And Jimmy Walker, I met Jimmy a couple of times, but that whole image of the character he played was not something that a whole lot of people coming from my station in life embraced.
So do you you think that set things back when that happened?
No, because that was the first and last of it. And we didn't hear from Jimmy Walker anymore. I did a golf tournament with John Amos, who's a brilliant actor and who fought during those years to keep that kind of nonsense out of that show, and they inevitably fired him. And John lives on a beautiful boat in the marina, in Marina Del Rey. And we were in North Carolina about 8-9 years ago in a golf tournament. And I always knew where John was because we'd see a trail of yellow golf balls. And we were sitting down having breakfast one morning, and he said to me, we were talking about people that we knew back in the day, and he said he ran into Jimmy Walker, and he said he's as bitter as quinine. And I thought that was the funniest line I had ever heard.
So
they exploited that kid. They exploited him. He made a buffoon out of himself. And after that show was over, he couldn't get arrested.
Yeah. Now, do you think if you're working on that show, would you go the same way as John Amos? Would you try to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm from Harlem. You need to read my book. You need to go on the number 2, N as in Nancy, D as in David, banana.net. I've written a beautiful book that, as I said before, it came out 2 years ago. It's selling around the world. It's coffee table size, and it's an expose, if you will, about all of the things that people thought they knew about Red Fox and myself and that series that they had no idea was taking place.
This is Damon Wilson, Lamont from Sanford and Son. Now, the show started in 1972. Did you guys realize you had
some... Actually, it didn't. It started in September of 71.
Okay.
We shot the pilot. It went on the air in January of 72.
Now, did you guys realize you had something special going on at that specific time, or did... You just thought you were rolling out doing some good television. Did you know it was going to be as historic as it is?
That was one of the things that I put in the book. Now, I could tell you that, but then I'd have to kill you.
Okay, well, don't do that.
When we initially started out, I don't like to give, little blurbs from the book, but when Red and I first started out, it was love at first sight. I had just returned from Vietnam. I had been back for maybe a year and a half, 2 years tops. And as I said before, I reiterate, I'm from Harlem, not to be associated with New York City. And Red was from St. Louis by way of Chicago. Alex Haley, in his book, Autobiography on Malcolm X, said that Malcolm Little, who was Red's buddy, said that Red Fox was the funniest dishwasher he'd ever met. And Red and I were from the same school of thought. We didn't play. We were not buffoons. We were not Uncle Toms. And we didn't take any nonsense. And we very quickly rose from changing in the bathrooms of NBC to what Flip Wilson called the HNICs.
Right. Okay. That's nothing wrong with that at all.
Whoa. So to give you a little histrionics on where we were coming from. We were not, as I said before, I pray that God gives rest to Sherman Hemsley's soul. I met him a few times. He was a very genteel man, but I never identified with that kind of buffoonery. Spike Lee calls it coonery.
So you guys were top 10 for the majority of your run. Why do you think it identified with so many people, what you guys were doing? Because of the fact that it wasn't the whole...
I'm going to tell you, I ain't got much time. You want to know, I'm going to tell you.
Go right ahead.
I ain't got 7 minutes.
Okay.
It was primarily, and a lot of people miss that, it was about the love between a father and a son, and that is universal. It could have been black, could have been white, could have been Hispanic, but it was primarily about the love between a father and a son. And as I said before, that's universal. And it has gone on and on ad infinitum. It has perpetuated itself because that never stops. I get kids come up to me 6, 7 years old and go, "Hi, Lamont." I go, your parents are not old enough to know who I am. So that's what the show is about. Regardless of any situation, women that come between the father and the son, men that came between the father and the son, the resolve was always Pop and his son going off together when the show ended. And that's a universal thing. I have letters from people down through the years that have told me my grandfather died watching that show. It was religious. It was a religion on Friday night for us to watch Sanford and Son. My Greek people, Italian people, my father, my uncle, my grandfather was Fred Sanford. So I hope that answers your question as to why it was a success.
Yeah, it really does. And to think that you guys had that much success on a night where usually people are going out and entertaining themselves and finding other forms of entertainment on a Friday night.
One of the quotes that I put in the book is a quote from Red Fox. Niggas didn't go out on Friday night till after they watched Sanford and Son.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty good quote. That's words to live by, I guess. I guess that's the
truth. Don't get mad at me. I didn't say that.
No, no, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at you at all. This is DeMond Wilson.
I don't know. Wait a minute. I don't know about colored people or black people, but niggas, he said, didn't go. He said, son, we the biggest niggas in America. He said, niggas don't go out on Friday night till they see Sanford.
All right, DeMond Wilson, Lamont from Sanford and Son. I wanted to tell you about one of my favorite episodes of Sanford and Son. It involved you when I believe it was the episode where you were trying to date this girl and her boyfriend wanted to beat you up and you had to learn a little karate or whatnot. And Grady tried to teach you the Grady glide, and then at the end you just went off trying to beat up the guy and kind of scared the guy without even touching him. That's my favorite episode.
That guy, bless his heart, he passed away. He was a lovely, lovely man. He passed away, as did a lot of the people that appeared on the show. It was JoJo Jackson.
Okay.
He said, I'm going to punch you in your mouth, sucker.
Right.
I told you to stay away from it, didn't I? I told you to stay away from candy. Now I'm going to bust. Come on outside.
And then you kind of went into your little, like you were meditating and whatnot, and then you went hard.
Lamont didn't know karate. He knew crazy.
Right. Right. So,
many a times, as a matter of fact, that episode separated the producer who passed away 2 years ago, Aaron Rubin. He was 97 years old, and myself, because that was during the time that Red was on his sabbatical for More Money.
Okay.
And we had rehearsed the way Red liked to rehearse. Red would rehearse casually, and he would have people put his lines on the coffee table, refrigerator, on the television set. And in Red's absence, I was rehearsing the same way. And the producer came up to me and he says, at a run-through on the taping day, he said, I want to see what you're going to do in the alley scene. And I said, Aaron, I don't know. I want to keep it fresh. I want to keep it spontaneous. And he demanded and screamed at me. And I'm not from that school.
Right.
There was one man that raised his voice to me, and that was my father. And Aaron didn't look nothing like my father.
Okay.
And so I told him, I said, when I grew up in Harlem, I wasn't the biggest kid on the block. I might have been one of the smartest, but I knew how to protect myself. And that was one of the ways that I protected myself growing up in Harlem, going crazy on somebody. And I got the reputation very early on as, like Red said, this nigga's crazy. Guys would say, don't mess with him. He's crazy. I'd hit you with a chair.
Hey, there's no such thing as a fair fight. A fight is a fight. You got to do what you got to do.
Not when there's a size differential.
All right.
So, you know, me doing that wasn't a stretch.
Well, DeMond, I really, really appreciate you coming on the show with us today. Can't
do
tell
you really?
Yeah, I really do. I can't tell you how many hours of entertainment you supplied me, and I really, really appreciate it. One last thing, if you could do this for me. We call it our radio liner, our audio autograph. If you could just,
I know you're begging.
If you could just identify yourself and say, I never listened to Bob and Dan on the Ticket.
I never?
Yes.
You want me to say that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's your call letters?
We're just known as the Ticket.
Okay. All right. Hi, this is DeMond Wilson. I don't ever listen to Bob and that other guy on the Ticket.
Yeah! Really appreciate you joining us today, man. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMond Wilson on the Guest Booking League. It is 2:27. Perhaps a recap next. What do you guys want to talk about?
Wow.
I think I kind of want to talk about South Dallas again.
Oh, no.
Good grief, man. What did I do? Okay, it seems like it's post game right here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost the DeMond Wilson postgame show.
It's almost like I teed him off at the very beginning with that first question.
So tense at the beginning.
And I couldn't get it back. Wait. And then just like Jake said, though, and I think he hit it right on the head, the only time he started getting comfortable was when he started dropping those N-bombs. That's the only time he was, you know, all good. And
here.
Just said it over and over and over again.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss here. There's a lot to discuss. But yes, his demeanor did change. And frankly, the segment went from complete disaster to he's now actually telling interesting stories and acting like he's not being punished by being on the show once that happened.
Right.
Man, it was...
It like took the edge off, or I don't know, he was his relaxer.
Yeah, it was so tense at the beginning.
Yeah, he relaxed and then we got tense.
And I wasn't... Well, dude, I wish I should have grabbed my phone if I was thinking correctly and just taped Bob.
Well, what am I supposed to do? First of all, what's my... People are like, well, where were you doing that interview?
He's the absolute...
Where do you think I was?
Bob was doing what Bob always does in a real tense situation.
Just a smoke outline of Bob.
He took his shirt... I mean, no, he took his headphones off. He turned his mic off. He backed away.
I was raising my arms like a goal had just scored. In a game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow.
I had no role. Look, once it was, and this has nothing to do with that one word. And by the way, what was the old record for how many times in a segment for that naughty word in ticket history?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Sure.
Like, was the old record zero?
Probably so.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so 7 probably puts it out of reach. If you want to play unbreakable records in ticket history?
Yeah. Unless I just have some bath salts or something and just go hard. I don't know. And I didn't say it once. So that's the...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had no role in this interview. As I had demonstrated before it even started, I didn't totally know who he was, but I read up and, you know, aside from his character name, I believe I had some questions and things to say, but it just got out of the gate so uncomfortably tense. And
was that my fault?
No, you're a big fan and you're trying to, I mean, you know.
I'm just trying to have a nice conversation about, you know, what's going on. And
that was your first question, maybe in retrospect, even I wouldn't say you did anything wrong, but maybe a nice softball to get it started and then start going into the, hey, did you have problems in your career? But all things considered, you did nothing wrong.
And I didn't mean problems. I'm just saying people identifying with him only as Lamont Sanford. You can do whatever you want.
He heard you and he said, this guy doesn't think I've done anything since.
Boy, and I'd compare. And then he heard Jimmy Walker and just went left.
Yeah, now I didn't know he's beefing with J.J. Walker.
And
although,
George Jefferson.
Although that makes me enjoy it a little bit more to know that 70s TV stars are beefing with each other, even though the entire world is not totally paying attention. So there's that.
But I don't think I understand.
Then he basically admitted that it's a naughty word by abbreviating it prior to using it.
With the HNIC. And I thought that's okay.
Hockey Night in Canada.
No, not that. Not that one. The head in charge. And I'm thinking, all right, you know, that's as far as it's going to go. But then it's almost like he was just rushing to get that out there when, well, I'm going to tell you what Red Fox said. And he said it like seven. Did Red Fox say it 7 times every time he said it?
He might have. Yeah. Red Fox might have said it.
And you know, it's a funny line. It really is.
It's a very funny line. And he's telling it as a story where it's a direct quote. So I'm kind of thinking, this is one of those times where, like at the British Open, you want to get a rules official over here to say, since he's saying it and since he's quoting someone, we're okay, right? But in golf, you have a chance to stop and wave over the rules official.
Right.
This guy starts peppering him out of an Uzi.
And I'm telling you, if you would have dumped the first one, there's no way you could have gotten them all because he just rattled them off. You could have dumped it all, you would have been out, and he still was saying it. Right.
Best part. Not black people, not colored people. Let me make sure you heard me.
And like, it's a great line. And you know what? I may have heard people say that before and laughed at it, but boy, wow, not in that
Never
particular moment
yeah.
right
one
there.
Of,
right.
One of the questions I was going to give you, Donovan, was that he's a minister now.
Yes.
So,
in
and
fact,
he's been religious
I went to,
since he was a kid.
I spent some time watching an interview on YouTube this morning where he is basically preaching.
Yeah.
And he's just talking about the things in our society that are bringing us down. And yeah, he sounded like any minister on Sunday morning.
Yeah. So I wanted to Donovan ask, you know,
I didn't know if this was going to be a very God heavy interview, and that's possible. And if it happens, right. Great.
And I wanted to see if maybe, because I remember as a kid, heard Red Fox's live show for the first time, and I was like, whoa, this guy holds nothing back. So was there a problem on the set? Because Red Fox isn't going to change anything for anybody.
Evidently not. I started to get nervous about every question because it seemed like if I got halfway through it and he just started answering, it just kind of cut me off and started going. Man, I guess the whole putting him in the same sentence with Jimmy Walker just got him a little bit upset, and he didn't get back until he started, you know, spewing it out.
Well, at least I was there for you.
Right.
In
your moment of need.
I know when a fight's going to happen. I know to look for.
Well, dude, there was no place for a white guy in that interview. Once it started going south.
Let me tell you.
Bob literally took his headphones off.
Yeah, took his headphones off, turned his mic off, and backed away from it just to make sure.
That was for comedy for you guys.
All I could see was the top of Bob's head bobbing up and down at one
point.
And
he is as red as his shirt when he's throwing that out there.
Was laughing and celebrating, frankly, but I was not going to get involved once... And like I said, I felt this way prior to the N-bombs, okay? I was not going...
Yeah, I was tense in another way before.
Once you two guys were beefing, I know just to stay out of it.
I don't understand why we had beef. I thought it was a legit question.
It was clear by 2:17 that it was going south.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know what? I thought about just getting out of this thing early.
So did I. I remember... If we re-listen to it, which we probably never will on the air.
Not heavily edited.
But if we were to re-listen to it, I can tell you exactly when I just about said to you off-air, Kenny Lofton, this guy, and let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty much just...
I was thinking about it because you gave me a liner sign really early, and then you said... Or whatever you want to do.
And that was prior to it going south.
And I knew I had a couple of more questions because how many more times are you going to have Lamont Sanford on air? I should have counted the losses and just bailed.
Well, we could call him back right now.
No, you know what? I'm good.
What was he like when he called in?
He was real businesslike.
Okay.
Like he just wanted to know how much longer and then how long is this interview going to be?
Because we're totally... He's done a great job, and this is like Grandpa Munster in a totally different way, but Grandpa Munster, it was a weird interview, but the final few minutes changed the overall perception of the interview completely. If you go back and listen to the Grandpa Munster interview, which happened now like a decade ago, but it was like 10 minutes of trying to sell us some timeshare in Aruba. I mean, it was a beat. It was horrible. But then at the end, when it was time for the liner, he gave us like the greatest liner in bad radio history. And I feel like in a way that happened here because we're not even discussing the fact that really the lead of this interview for the first 10 minutes of the 15 were the fact that he has 3 houses, 5 cars, and was more than happy to CJ Wilson his way through the entire
interview.
Yeah,
letting you know how many, you know...
Telling you how successful
he was. How
many
sitcoms he's been on, but that was the whole point of the question, just to say, and people still identify you from a show 40 years ago. So is that good? You know, I would ask the same with Urkel. If Gary Coleman was still alive, I'd ask him the same thing. That's just something that I'm fascinated with, too, that you're identified with this one character 40 years ago. You know, is it a little difficult to get by? And you know what? What's his name? When we had a Bud from the Cosby Show, and he was saying, hey, you know, I'm happy with it. Okay, that's good. That's the answer you can say. Not to just... You know, start going down the list of what you have and all this other stuff. It's a simple question, dude. But that got it off to that rocky start. And, man, I couldn't steer that thing back on,
you know, I'm
onto the lane until he started, you know, going hard.
I'm looking here at the bylaws of the Guest Booking League, and you're not going to believe this, but I do see that you get double credit for any interview in which there are 7 N-bombs.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So that puts Team Bob and Sean back into first place.
Don't think so.
That's great.
Don't think so.
I didn't realize that, but it worked out very well for us.
Don't think so. But, yeah, that was...
Remarkable. And yes, and it's been mentioned a few times, but it should be said. Dan not being here, it certainly changed the fabric of the show all week, but in particular this segment. I don't know what Dan would have done to this interview. I don't know if it would have been better.
That would have been his chance.
Or worse.
Yeah, I don't think he would have taken his headphones off, turned his mic off, and
my mic was on the whole time. In fact, I think if you reviewed the interview, you would find that that there's a lot of off mic laughter from me, much of it nervous sounding. So the mic was never off.
Oh,
the headphones
man.
Were off as merely grandstanding in front of the window to get you guys to see my my acknowledgement that this had gone
and
horribly,
you know,
horribly south. But I do want to tell you, on a scale of 1 to 100, there was a -10 chance that I was going to get involved.
If Damon Wilson is sitting around and we're playing dominoes with a whole bunch of the other fellas and he says
which
that,
happens all the time.
It doesn't cause a ripple. Not right. One whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I might join in and Shaq laugh or something and high step and all that because it's a really good line. But as far as that being on the air and what to do and all that other stuff, that's the uncomfortable thing about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's
that's an understatement.
I still would like the PGA official to give us a ruling
right,
on all that.
Right.
I actually hesitate to ask. But,
because let's just leave that. Watching dog lie.
Watching Tom sort through this decision-making process.
Oh,
on the
man.
Lives.
The gears were flying at hyperspeed when they were like, man, weighing all the different options.
Which,
and
if we were
all
to, if
the
we were to look at that, well, and if we were to look at that, I mean, who's got a more itchy trigger finger with the man? And now every word that even comes close to that word, I am working very carefully.
Did you jump when you said trigger?
The word
Come
trigger
on,
is troubling right
Come
now.
Come on, dude. It's not that bad.
No, I know, but it's just it's too soon.
It's too soon.
You have to wait a while before.
Like somebody who's just in a car accident, getting back on that road.
Yes, I'm a little rattled.
A
little rattled right now.
10 and 2. The
have
hands
no
the
problem.
I want to take back roads and not the freeway right now.
Have no problem with what he said. It's just on the air. That's the difference.
Ooh, yeah. That's
the
thing about a radio
show.
That's the
whole thing. Yes.
That's the thing about
a radio
show. I like
working. I like working a lot.
Yeah, so do I. If you want to read his book, go to DamondWilson.com or .org. DamondWilson.org for more.
Man.
Genius from him.
Well, that's about all the damage we can do today. Oof. That's the guest booking league. By the way, what is the score now?
5-4-3?
Yeah.
5-4-3.
Team Sugar Diabetes with 5. Team Sass with 4. Team Hallucinogenic with 3.
But
one on the horizon.
They got one on the
they have
horizon.
One booked.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a year.
This is an all-time season.
Wow.
And even though I thought this was clearly the worst GBL interview of the season about 10 minutes in, I don't know how to re-rate it now.
Now it's landmark.
It might be the one that we're talking about in 10 years of the entire season.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, I'm not going to watch.
Assuming any
I'm
of us
gonna
are in radio
I'm
going to
watch Sanford and Son with a different eye right now.
I might have to watch an episode just to see what it's all about.
I'm going to watch the reruns and just kind of have a... I don't know how I'm going to feel right now. I'm going to watch one tonight and let you know.
Well, there, kids. There's some sports radio for you on the ticket.